Tom Gazzola. Tom, early in our show, I said I loved last night's game because every shift, every detail of every play mattered. What were your feelings on the series-clinching 1-0 victory by the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I thought that was a really well-played, detail-oriented game from the Tampa Bay Lightning, Strutty. Do you think that's fair? Because that's what I saw. They didn't really give the Canadians much, and you saw the chance that Cole Caulfield missed on. There were a few opportunities, but whenever Montreal finally did get chances, Vasilevsky was there to shut the door, whether it was the defenseman swiping away any potential rebounds or Vasilevsky himself. I thought that the Lightning were spot on with their game. It was airtight, or as close to airtight as could be. They knew that they wanted to close this thing out, and they gave their best all-around performance defensively, and then they, you know, they finally created a little bit of offense, took advantage of one of their opportunities, but I thought that they didn't give up much, and that's a sign and a form of a true champion, and Tampa does it again. I think that was the best way I would describe the way the Lightning played last night.
Quite the party afterwards. People were drinking Bud Light like it was raining on them. What did you think of Kucherov's post-game comments, talking about that guy in Vegas and one of Vezina and how Vazzy was the best player and this and that? Was it disparaging to his peers, or just in the moment he kind of got carried away? What did you see with that?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was entertaining. Kucherov's one of the best in the league. Yeah, he was into a few of the wobbly pops at that point. Those Bud Lights must have hit him pretty hard after the game. You know how it is after you finish up a men's league game and you have that first one, you're like, ooh, straight to the head. Anyway, it was a little bit disrespectful to Marc-Andre Fleury. And I know he took his shot at the Habs fans and those in Montreal celebrating. That part, he didn't really need to say that. And to say that guy in Vegas, like, come on. Marc-Andre Fleury's a Hall of Famer. He's a Stanley Cup champion. He finally wins a Vezina. I know you're sticking up for your guy in Vasilevsky, and there's probably going to be another opportunity for Vasilevsky to win his Vezina trophy or maybe multiple Vezina trophies. So that part, the disrespect, is the only part of it where you're like, all right, man, come on. You know the guy's name. You don't need to take shots at a fan base. You could be a little bit gracious. You just won the Stanley Cup for a second straight season. Some people think the Kucherov coming in at the playoffs is a bit greasy, and certainly it's Tampa taking advantage of the rules, and I'm sure that there's going to be some changes to the rules in regard to this going forward. But overall, Strutty, I laughed. Like, I thought it was funny, and I enjoy when hockey players show a little bit of personality, but you don't need to take pot shots at the opposition. That's the only part of it where you go, come on, man, you're a champion. Take the high road a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It was joined by Tom Gazzola. I actually, chirping another fan base, I think that's all in good fun. Like, I don't really have a problem with that, because next time he goes to Montreal, the Bell Center, they're going to hammer on him, right? And I, like, whatever. He'll be like, whatever. I just won 2 Stanley Cups back-to-back, and I think it's good for rivalries. But I'm with you. I think disrespecting or not calling a guy by name, like a guy like the Flower, the Vegas goaltender, like, that to me is a... I just think your peers deserve better than that, right? And you can say, you know what?
Yeah.
I understand that someone else won it, but I still feel, I felt and I still feel that Vaz was the best, or Vasilevsky, whatever, is the best goalie in the league. And it's just difficult. It's not like Fleury's going to do anything. What's he going to tweet at Kucherov or something? Like, it's not, but I just think that there's a way to handle it differently in that moment. But for the fans, I like when opposing players chirp fans, because I think it gets it going. It gets a rivalry going that maybe, well, now, I mean, I guess Montreal and Tampa might be a rivalry now, but we need more of that. We need some animosity amongst these different fan bases and teams.
What if Marc-Andre Fleury comes back and when he has a press conference talks about that forward from Tampa and just talks about Kucherov? It's just like this obscure forward. Yeah, average height, left shot. I think he's had a couple of good seasons. If Fleury did that, I think that would be match point at that point. And you know what? Fleury's the type of guy where he has a good sense of humor and he gets it, and he might pull off something like that.
Yeah, he's just hanging on to that center, Braden Point, that the wing that just hangs on to his his coach. It'd be pretty funny. Tommy, you know, we're all excited. I love the Olympics. I love watching the Olympics. But it sounds like a state of emergency declared in Japan. You know, how's this going to affect the Olympics, the fans, and the excellent athletes that are going to be there?
It's going to be strange, Struds, because we're just coming out of this pandemic situation. I know we're not completely over the line yet. We're getting there. We're, you know, getting towards the 10, the 5, and hopefully soon the goal line. But we're at a point now, at least here in North America, where we're comfortable in letting people back into the building. Here in Alberta, restrictions have been lifted. You know, there's only certain places you need to wear masks. So the vaccination rollout has been good. So it almost feels like at a time where everything is going in the right direction and we are so close, you have the biggest athletics event in the world. The entire globe will be watching and there's going to be nobody in the building. And I know in Japan, they're only around 15% full vaccination for their population. And that has a huge part in it. And like you said, there's another state of emergency being declared. But it's going to be weird just because it feels like we're going one way and this shows us that they're going in a different direction. And I think it's kind of a reminder, too, that not everyone's at the same point in this race. So it's going to be really weird. And to see tarps on venues again for us, at least here, I think will be strange. Hopefully it doesn't take away from the performances and everything that we see athletics-wise on the pitch, on the field of play, in the water, all of that, Struddy, because you know, these athletes work so hard, and they only get this opportunity once every 4 years, and it really is a damn shame that they can't perform in front of a live audience. But the show must go on, and the IOC could take a $3 to $4 billion hit if they don't play these Olympics. So I get it. It's a bit of a reminder, but it's, at the same time, it sucks. You were in that building this year with no fans, and Struds, I think you would agree with me. It was weird watching hockey games with nobody in the building outside of the media.
Oh, it was so, and we couldn't even sit together. Like, someone make a great play, and you'd look, like, over to the next table, 15 feet away, with your mask on, but, oh, rah, 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 and you'd be like, what, what did you say? And, like, ah, I'll text you. You know what I mean? Like, because you couldn't understand what anyone was saying. So it just, the excitement, like, even just watching this playoffs down south, and, you know, the number slowly built with how many fans they could have in the building, to where last night it was just a complete party in there. Although I thought it was kind of odd that the coaches had to wear masks and no one else in the building, the players, the trainers had them on, but I didn't see any fans I should say that. There were, you know, way less people with masks than without masks in there. So I thought it was kind of interesting. But, you know, as an athlete, you do feed off that energy. And I can go back to when the World Track and Field Championship was here in Edmonton, I don't know, 15 years ago. And I went. And I remember sitting there all day for a number of days. And just, you know, you'd see a 100-meter race or a good high jump or whatever it was. You just get so jacked. And I wonder, you know, will we see, you know, possibly less world records being broken? You know, like just things like that. I know they don't always compete for that, but, you know, these are things I think that just like get a little more juice in your body when you have, you know, whatever it is, 50,000 people roaring to see you jump, run, or throw.
Yeah. I mean, being in the moment, feeding off that energy, that's totally a thing. And there were times, you know, taking it to what we saw and witnessed firsthand where a lot of games just didn't have that extra bit of jam. A lot of Oiler fans would text us on the post-game show and say, you know, you could really tell that the Oilers at home don't have that extra little bit of jump. And if we were in the building, these fans would say, it would be different. We'd give them momentum. And it's good to see that hunger and that thirst to be in the building and cheer on the team is there. And maybe it does truly make an impact. And by the way, World Track and Field Championships here were great. I was one of those. I was 15 or 16, and I would hop on an ETS bus and go and sit in the building and watch everything and take it all in too. And there were moments like where the was it the pole vaulting where they would start the clap going for themselves before they would take their attempt, like stuff like that. I thought was really cool. So clearly, it does have an impact. And hey, you played in the NHL for a long time. You know what the fans can do and what they can bring to a team or a specific athlete when they're performing.
That's absolutely amazing. Well, Tommy, now we turn our head to the off season. I think this kind of brings every hockey fan back into it. You know, do you think we'll see any trades or movement prior to the release of what will be the expansion list? What, you know, most people are expecting around the 18th, 17th, 18th, 19th, sometime in there.
Yeah, probably, Struds. I mean, we're already starting to see some stuff seep out today. Pierre LeBrun's been tweeting out a bunch of stuff. We heard Chris Drieger's name might be someone that gets floated out there, and someone tries to trade for him to get his rights and negotiate a deal. Stuff like that, if it's already happening, and we're not even 24 hours past the cup getting handed out by Gary Bettman, that's a pretty good indicator that we might see some movement, some pre-planning before the expansion draft. The buyout window opens up, I think, tonight, technically, the first one at least. So it to me, is going to be busy. It feels like a compacted offseason. We're a week and a little bit into July, Struds, and we're basically just over 2 months away from the start of training camp for the next season. I mean, there's guys here in Edmonton from the Oilers that are already skating, and they started skating last week. So I think it is going to be fast paced. I think we are going to see movement, and I think it will get a little bit crazy. It's going to be interesting to see how creative some of these GMs can get given the financial situation in the National Hockey League. Flat cap again, and actual money being handed out, and these owners, after taking a hit the last 16 months, I think there's going to be a lot of movement and maybe some interesting and big names being moved around as well. So I'm getting ready to buckle up because I think it's going to get nuts.
And Vladimir Tarasenko, the Russian sniper for St. Louis Blues, name was dropped into the ring today. So we'll see where that goes. Tommy, always enjoy talking to you. We'll hear you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Struddy. Enjoy the rest of the show, pal.